greet you all this morning and propose that we get started with the business of the day. If you could just observe a moment of silence, prayer and meditation. Amen. Let me welcome the Minister. Honourable Minister, we are very pleased to be with you today. Cabinet has released you at least to have a moment with us. We know that we are very unfortunate and that our meeting falls on a Wednesday. And Cabinet is important for you to attend, but we are always with your Deputy Minister who assists on issues that are political, maybe would have needed the response from the political leadership of the department. We want to appreciate that as a select committee. You are all welcome to the meeting. It's going to be a fruitful engagement wherein the select committee is going to be listening to the annual report of the department, the extent to which you have been able to execute your tasks, that you reach your targets in accordance with your predetermined objectives, your achievements as a department that you could actually be proud of, as well as the financials, the extent to which you have conducted your finances in a manner that is compliant with pieces of legislation and regulations of Treasury that governs it, whether your audit findings have been attended to, and whether you are striving to get a clean audit. I'm not going to belabor the point. We know one another. There isn't any need for introductions because we've had a series of prior engagements. I will just take this opportunity to note apologies if there are any. I've got three apologies. There are three members of the select committee that I held up in the meeting of the whips, that is Honorable Mampore, the whip of the committee, Honorable Dlamini, as well as Honorable Kaola, the phone to say that they held up in the office of the chief whip. I don't know what's happening. That's the message I got. I don't know if from the side of the department there is an apology today. There is none. Thank you. Let me hand over to the Honourable Minister to give opening remarks.
Thank you very much, Chair. I must also express my appreciation, my happiness for being able to come and attend this time. As you correctly said, that unfortunately, most of the time with the cabinet, and today we, like, that's not the cabinet today, so we will be able to stay through and through the report. I don't want to take your time, but really to take the opportunity. We'll be the judges if you feel we have been performing well. But our view as a sector is that indeed we've made reasonable progress, and we're starting to move in the direction that we think the sector should move. There's still more to be done in the sector, especially in changing the landscape of education. We think some of the areas would have stabilized in terms of the curriculum, but our view, the Deputy Minister, and I think with the department and all stakeholders, we need to give a more differentiated curriculum along international trends, where we make sure that a good number of our learners are moving into a vocational technical skill process what the economy needs, and begin to reduce the number of learners going to the academic, because it's not all learners that need to go to the academic. And part of the problem with the bloating of our universities is an undifferentiated curriculum at the basic education level. It's an anomaly, because in most developing countries and developed countries, not as many children as we have go to universities. And I think it's a big area that now we have to start moving in as a country. We've been engaged in talks with higher education so that we smoothen also the area around the TVET, around the technical and vocational schools. But that's the big area that we have to move into in the future. Because we are very comfortable that we think the basics are in place. The curriculum, the basic things, we continue to work on them, but the broader picture requires us to change the education landscape in line with international trends. We still have a very colonial framework. We've improved the content of our curriculum, but the framework still needs lots of nudging. So it will be a major thing, because it means, again, we have to begin to shift the resources into this new area. It's much more expensive. It's resource intensive. Your technical and vocational can be resource intensive compared to your ordinary academic. But having said that, Chair, I think today you want to hear what you've done with what you were given in the 2015-16 financial year. The next thing that the topic that I'm raising will be part of when we come in for the budget to say how do we change the education landscape to be able to reflect the needs of the economy and be in line with international trends, which I think we're lacking behind. So, DM. DM has been leading these discussions around the reporting, so I'm not sure, DM, if you want to say anything. But I really want to express my appreciation and also our gratitude to the department for this opportunity to come and give a report, to come and account. So, DM.
Chair, with your permission, may I... Good morning to honourable members and colleagues. The Minister has spoken, and perhaps just for me to raise four issues which I have not raised in the portfolio committee. The one, well, I did raise it and reflected on it, and perhaps something that we would have to deal with, is the reality of our social cohesion, the creation of a non-racial, non-sexist society, the constitutional values that should inform us in what we do, and to what extent are we able, in the context of the curriculum, in the context of teaching and learning, are able to efficiently facilitate that particular process, because it's something that the Minister correctly alluded to or pointed to, the decolonization element, which is a matter of debate. Just a few days ago in one of the Cape newspapers, there was a reflection on one of the textbooks that was part of textbooks that had been screened as acceptable, which basically had certain racial bias contained in it. And obviously the publishers had a different explanation, but on the face of it, it's something that we have to basically correct and ensure that it doesn't occur. What the Minister has done is two things in this regard. One is set up a ministerial committee to examine how we could make history a compulsory area of learning. That means that do we locate it for grades 10, 11, and 12, where it is not a fundamental in life orientation, or do we do so as part of your civic education, or do we do so as an additional or separate subject? They are on the cusp of completing that particular task, and I do think it would assist us. Secondly, also in support of that particular initiative, the Minister convened a roundtable conference around this particular matter, and I think, Chair, you were part of the group that attended, which we thought was very, very useful. All stakeholders were able to contribute in the discourse of the importance of history, because that contributes to our understanding of where we come from and our understanding of our identity as South Africans, as Africans, and as global citizens. So we thought that's one important matter. And although the DG would not reflect too much on it, I raise it in the context of what is current. The second thing that I would want to speak about is the evolution of our system of education over the past years has indicated one thing, and it's a positive element, that we've achieved a measure of uniformity, a measure of cohesion, a measure of stability within the system Now, whilst education is a concurrent competency, what we do have, which is quite unusual, and certainly, again, we recognize the leadership of the minister in this regard, is we have a situation where for the past 10 years, the Department of Basic Education, led by the minister and the deputy minister, DG and senior managers of the Department of Basic Education, meets quarterly with all district directors. Now, I raise this in the context of where you are, because what you represent is really the thrust of cooperative governance and provincial interests. So that is a layer that has often been neglected. So district directors meet, engage with the department, and half the agenda is prepared by the Department of Basic Education, and half the agenda is prepared by the district directors. It's quite phenomenal, because that has contributed very, very directly to a community of good practice, where ideas are shared and practices are exchanged amongst colleagues, and certainly the provincial boundaries disappear very, very quickly, and at the heart of what they do is the best interest of the child. So I thought that's an important reflection. The third, which again I have not raised anywhere else, but I do so in the context of our discussion here, is the incredible way in which we've moved forward. Not very long ago, Chair, you might recollect some 10 years ago, we used to sit and write provincial examinations. We had provincial catalogues for books that we had to procure. So we had provincial systems of education, at times working with each other and at times competing against each other. Today we have one national examination, we have uniform standards, we have for grades 10, 11 and 12 mathematics and science textbooks that are used across the system. We have our workbooks for grades R to grade 9 used by all provinces, monitored and all embraced by all provinces. We are moving, and in fact what we would like this committee to reflect on, not today certainly, but at some time, is the importance of having a centralized procurement system which provides for a basic or a minimum core textbook for each learner in each grade for every subject. If we are able to achieve that, where we basically throw away this contestation between Section 20 and Section 21 schools and provincial interests, where all the provinces get together and say, well, this we recognize as a minimum core textbook. It is a reality in grades 10, 11, and 12 for mathematics and science. It is a reality in grades 4, 5, and 6 for math, science, and technology, where they utilize a common resource without any argument, without any difference. The advantage there is that if a learner moves from one area to the other area, he or she knows that the textbook is the same. If an educator is tested wherever or assessed in whichever province, they know it is on the basis of the content of a particular core textbook. I think it would contribute very significantly and certainly be a huge saving. The last point that we want to raise, and basically is an appeal to members of parliament in particular. The National Council of Provinces is located in a way in which it could basically, it looks at provincial interests. And often the questions that ought to be asked either at provincial legislatures or to the National Council of Provinces emerges from the National Assembly. So they would ask about provincial matters in our National Assembly. We would rather say if there are provincial interests that are being reflected on by members of all political parties, it is best to do so here because you represent the heart of cooperative governance. So those are the three points that I would like to make, but also to say on behalf of both the Minister and myself to express our gratitude for the incredible support that we receive from this committee. And certainly you have been our eyes and ears, and thank you for the cooperation that we've received because you enhance our ability to provide quality education. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister and Deputy Minister. Maybe just to be upfront, we have got time constraints. We need to finish the meeting at 4:12 because there's an urgent meeting that has been called for Chairpersons. To that extent, then, I would request that I will give you an hour for presentation and 45 minutes for questions and responses, so that we try by all means to finish the meeting by 11:45. But we are going to be harping on the critical issues, DG, We have studied your annual report. We have observed that most of the targets have been achieved except on certain specific areas. In Program 2 or Karikude, issues like those or other assessments that have contributed in targets not really being achieved in the manner that you have drawn for yourselves, and issues relating to audit findings. There are other issues, but those are the issues that I picked up as I was looking at the report. And I said to myself, we'll hear the story from the horse's mouth through the DG, though, as to what is it that you're going to do to ensure that we improve on what we're doing. I do not want to belabor the point. I'm going to be handing over to whoever will be presenting will be within the 1 hour that you are being allocated. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Minister and Deputy Minister and colleagues. Chair, thank you very much for giving a very clear outline of what you expect of us to do. We've put together a presentation of 118 slides. Now, to keep within 1 hour, there is no way that I'm going to go through each and every line. And what is good is that you've clearly indicated to me that you have achieved in some areas, in others you have not achieved. What are you going to do? That is going to be the mainstay of my presentation, focusing mainly on areas where we have not achieved. Chairperson, the presentation provides for three parts. The first two parts I'm going to do, and then the last part on financial statements, I will humbly request that you allow the CFO just to complement the work that I will be doing, but still keeping within the stipulated time allocation of 1 hour. The purpose really is to quickly highlight on the achievements, and may I also indicate, Chair, that the screen doesn't appear to be that clear, but I can see that handouts that are in color are also circulated, which makes it easy. And the screen before the chair is much more favorable compared to the one behind you, which means that you've selected a very good position. And of course, the second part is about performance against plan targets. And then the third element of the presentation, of course, is about the expenditure. In terms of the part one, it's really the overview of the service delivery environment and context. And here, the first part, we're just reminding ourselves of the legislative context within which we have to carry out our responsibility, which is the National Education Policy Act, to be much more specific, Section 3, which enjoins the Minister to develop norms and standards, Section 8, to monitor compliance with those norms. And the second part of that slide clearly says that we are a policy development organization. We are about norms, we are about standards. We also monitor and evaluate the implementation of the policy. We also lead in the realization of those rights that are provided for in the Bill of Rights of our Constitution. We also guided by the National Development Plan. The National Development Plan characterizes the work that we do on a day-to-day basis, and our achievements are clearly linked to the realization of the goals of the National Development Plan, which encapsulates the vision. The medium-term strategic framework, it really provides details in terms of the plan. We have also aligned the action plan, which is the sector plan, which is now linked to Action Plan 2030, as Action Plan 2019 towards schooling 2030. We deliver within the confines of the six priorities which follow. Of course, it's about improving the quality of teaching and learning through the development, supply, and effective utilization of teachers. We also about improve quality of teaching and learning through the provision of adequate infrastructure LTSM, as Deputy Minister indicated in his remarks, improving the assessment of learning to gauge our academic achievement throughout all levels of the system, expanding the quality of early childhood development to lay a firm foundation for school readiness when learners begin school at grade one. We also about strengthening accountability, as already said by the Minister and the Deputy Minister, different levels of the system, districts, provinces, we meet the Minister leading the Council of Education Ministers as part of enhancing accountability and improving the provision of education. And then the last priority, of course, is about partnerships. The National Education Collaboration Trust is one good vehicle that we have used to galvanize business, civil society, including labor and government to work together to support the provision of quality education. Chairperson, one of the achievements that stand out has been the focus on those who provide support to the schooling system. Of course, providing support to districts in the form of focusing on the key foot soldiers who are circuit managers. And we've also seen in the system 10,000 of newly qualified educators entering our system. And I'm sure that it will give some comfort to those who said that there were people, too many people who leave the system compared to those who enter the system. We're beginning to see more young people who are entering the teaching profession. Although we experienced a drop in the National Senior Certificate in 2015, we've seen an unprecedented increase in the number of learners who go through matric. And I can indicate, Chairperson, that in 1970, for instance, you had 48,000 of matriculants who went through the system. In 2015, you had close to 800,000 matriculants who went through the system. And we're likely to see the same even this year as we're starting with the exams from last week and, of course, more numbers writing today. The Minister and the Deputy Minister have been leading the Read to Lead campaign. In that regard, we have also seen 1,000 libraries being delivered across the country, but also implemented the early grade reading assessment system, which is used worldwide to gauge the ability to read, the speed, the extent to which learners are able to read. We have implemented that in 1,000 schools, and we're looking forward to increase that. We've also started in 2016 to strengthen our vocational education, as the Minister said, in line with the three-stream model, increasing the number of learners who do your technical vocational stream and technical occupational stream, which is starting next year. But this year, in grade 10, we increased the number of vocational subject offerings. And we have seen a phenomenal increase in the number of learners who even enroll for technical maths and technical science. These subjects are very important for growing our industry and for stimulating our economy. We've also seen a phenomenal improvement in our learners who participate in the Moot Court in The Hague, in the Netherlands, and I'm sure more details will be flashed in the next slide or so. An increase in the number of learners who benefit from the National School Nutrition Program, which is a program offered by very few countries, including developed countries. Parents pay, you know, for feeding that is provided to learners in South Africa. 9.6 million learners benefit from the National School Nutrition Program. I'm getting into part two, Chairperson, focusing on the five programs. We've got five programs that we're providing services in. And as you correctly pointed out, Chairperson, despite the fact that there's been an increase in the number of our targets and indicators, there's been also a requisite improvement in the overall performance, as you would see. if you compare with 2014, 2015, our overall performance was 84.6% for the year in question. The year under review is 87.1% overall achievement. Of course, I'll speak more on those areas where we underperformed. The program on administration, it's really to provide support services as indicated in the annual report and the APP that we are reporting against. The targets that are indicated there on the slides have been achieved, so I won't spend much time on them. So in this program, essentially all targets have been achieved, Chairperson. And I can indicate that the first areas that are covered under human resource management and development, training of officials as indicated there, recruitment of interns, provision of bursary, because we are also providing bursaries to officials in the department, labor relations, to ensure that the sound labor relations in the department. These are some of the services that we provided, number of grievances that were considered, number of hearings that took place. In terms of legal services, there are 44 correspondences that were considered by the minister, 20 of those are litigation, and of course two which have been finalized and 18 of these cases are still ongoing. We've received or considered legal three legal opinions which were provided by the unit. The unit also considered 10 pieces of legislation. In terms of media liaison, we've had 72 interviews. We've also had 18,000 followers on Facebook and 37,000 followers on Twitter and 3,000 messages. Internal audit continues to be a very important section of the department. I must indicate upfront, we are in the process of strengthening our internal audit chapters, and some of the findings are based on the fact that our internal audit has not been that strong to proactively reflect on these things and draw the attention of management to ensure that we attend to all the things that we need to attend to. International relations, what stands out is a cooperation agreement with China, which delivered a planetarium in Gauteng province, but benefiting all the 9 provinces. We also continue our cooperation agreement with Cuba. The deputy minister accompanied the deputy president recently to Cuba. The memorandum of understanding with the French embassy, the host of activities that we are undertaking together. We also hosted French chefs, which form part of the activities of the National School Nutrition Program. JICA, the Japan International Cooperation Agency, we also continue this cooperation agreement with them, which has now extended to the other provinces like Eastern Cape and Northwest, started with KZN and Mpumalanga, and has now moved to those provinces. The department also hosted 3 international delegations, the Nigerian delegation, the Norwegian delegation, and the Swaziland delegation. In terms of strategic plan, coordination and research, this unit continues to do its important work of monitoring the performance of the sector, all the 9 provinces including DBE, but also carry out research or work with bodies that are able to do this on our behalf, but also provide support to entities such as UMALUSI and SAFE, and we've been able to compile reports and report regularly to Treasury, Parliament, Cabinet, and other government departments. Chairperson, there's also something called MPET, which is about a system introduced in the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency to monitor the performance of departments in terms of the extent to which they are able to keep accurate records, they are able to hold meetings that hold various levels of departments accountable, and we want to report that we have improved from 54% to 66% in terms of the assessment that was done by TPMA. our secretariat is coordinating various meetings, as the Deputy Minister indicated, from the Council of Education Ministers to other meetings as well, and the number of those meetings are also indicated there. Key evaluations which were conducted are on CAPS. They are also on Funza Lushaka, the implementation of Funza Lushaka. We've been able to identify some of the weaknesses there, and we've put together an improvement plan to deal with those weaknesses. The implementation of the National School Nutrition Program, the monitoring of the sector using the General Household Survey. We've also been able to carry out workshops for district managers to build capacity and working together with UNICEF to enhance the capacity of districts to be able to provide support to schools. Program 2 is about the implementation of the curriculum, which is the core function of the department. The first part, in terms of the performance indicators, we have achieved targets. The second part, what we have not achieved, is the number of learners in Karikude. What is attributable to this underachievement is that we've overgrazed the terrain. Essentially, what it means is that when we started the program in 2008, we used the data that said 4.7 million South Africans could not read and write. That is substantially reduced. As we speak, we've covered 4.2 million. Taking into account factors of natural attrition, chairs, and other factors of mobility and so on, this year we've only been able, the coverage has drastically reduced to about 500,000 to now under 300,000 as we move towards rolling out the last bit of the program with a view of bringing the program to an end in 2017. So essentially what it means is that people who need the service have been fully covered, and they are recorded in the SAQUA National Learner Record Database. I've covered this one under reading promotion and library services, multi-grade and rural education. We've established this unit. The unit has put together a package of services to support schools that are offering multi-grade teaching, particularly schools that are in the commercial farming areas, where you've got a one-teacher school, where there's no time to prepare, you prepare lesson plans for them, you also provide the support materials that teachers can use so that they're able to achieve the level of outcomes that are achieved by schools in your domain. as indicated, the Minister has also appointed a ministerial task team to look at rural education with a view of strengthening the policy that would guide the implementation of programs in this sector. Incremental introduction of African languages, this time around we're only reporting on the pilot, but Chair, let me indicate that in terms of 2016-2017, over 800 schools are now offering African languages which to learners who had no opportunity to learn any African language. But the 264 is only for the pilot. I'm just preempting the clarity that would say what happens at the moment. We've also implemented the SIAS program, which is very important in terms of identifying barriers to learning, and we've been able to provide support to learners with identified barriers to learning. We've also implemented CAPS for South African Sign Language. And I was saying to the Portfolio Committee for Basic Education that we at least have a curriculum in South Africa from the CAPS for South African Sign Language. What we once saw, Chairperson, hopefully on TV, somebody demonstrating sign language that does not exist will come to an end. So we have a uniform curriculum in South Africa, and we hope to make it available even to learners in the mainstream, not only for learners with special education needs, in the interest of social cohesion. Early childhood development, the main issue there is the implementation of the uniform curriculum for 0 to 4 year olds. We are aware, Chairperson, we started this last year. We've printed 100,000 copies made available to centers, community centers that are there. And we've also trained about 5,000 practitioners in this regard. And the information that we are providing, it's only progress in respect of 0 to 4 year old learners who are in centers that are provided in different modalities as indicated on this slide. And we've almost reached universal coverage, as you can see also for 5 year olds, 85.8%, slightly lower than last year. And it's not because of the coverage, Chairperson, I must indicate. This data is also linked to the birth rate and so on. So it's not neglect in terms of the coverage. These are some of the resources that are provided, and as part of what the Deputy Minister indicated earlier on, we also had a roundtable discussion around ECD, and these were some of the activities that took place during that roundtable discussion. LTSM, the Deputy Minister has also indicated textbooks, it's universal coverage. We do have challenges around universal coverage for textbooks, as Deputy Minister correctly pointed out. And many people are saying to us, the provision of workbooks gives us very good lessons that if we were to implement the same system, every learner will have a textbook for every subject in every grade, which is something that we are considering, as the Deputy Minister explained earlier on. Math, Science and Technology, Chairperson, we've provided a lot of ICT resources through the Math, Science and Technology grant, which has been growing year to year, and even the number of learners who are even taking mathematics are beginning to increase. And I must indicate, Chairperson, that for instance, for grade 12 learners who are writing this year, we've seen an increase of about 19,000 learners going to mathematics, moving away from mathematical literacy, which is a very good development for the system. This is the breakdown per province of the numbers, essentially 100%, as you can see, in terms of workbooks. And again, through the General Household Survey, we further demonstrating both workbooks and textbooks an improvement in the year under review. We've also provided other equipments and materials to prepare, particularly for strengthening the technical vocational stream. So through the grant, we've provided the materials and the equipment that are indicated on the slides that is provided there. Our learners are also participating in national and international competitions such as Olympias. We've seen an increase of learners, as I said earlier on, particularly in technical mathematics and technical science. And these subjects are intended to support learners who follow the vocational stream. Chairperson, we also, of course, providing support in terms of focus schools. Focus schools play a very important role in the system as part of increasing, diversifying the curriculum, but increasing opportunities for our young people. We've also published norms and standards particularly for your focus schools and technical high schools also included there. ICT, apart from Operation Pakisa, we have increased the development of digital content. We also seen an improvement in the connectivity of schools. Our schools have now moved from about 48% to 54% of the level of connectivity. We also have a dedicated channel, a DBE channel, supporting teachers, providing the broadcast solution in terms of supporting teachers and learners. As learners are writing their exams, there are channels that are dedicated to do revision, to provide support to these learners. But we're using this also to reach out to areas that are very difficult to attract qualified teachers. Operation Pakisa, we are well on course. Provinces have developed plans and have started implementing those plans. And the areas that are covered are those five areas: digital content and curriculum development, teacher professional development, e-administration, which includes SASMs, the modernization of SASMs. It includes e-infrastructure. It includes e-governance, provision of ICT equipment and support, and connectivity. In terms of curriculum, as indicated earlier on, we're reaching a point where we'll be talking almost about universal coverage of those who needed to be provided with services so that they're able to read and write. The figures stand at 4.2 million out of 4.7 million. And the breakdown in terms of learners who benefited is as follows from year to year. And we have also created jobs through Caribbean. It's one of the flagship, extremely successful projects of government. Learners with disability also benefited. I think people with disability, rather, also benefited, but also learners with disability also benefited from the program. In terms of gender, Chair, I'm sure you'll be happy to learn that females of this country, or women in this country, are the main beneficiaries. The last year, the year under review, so 84% and overall 87% of people are involved in Karikude are women. I'm sorry, Mr. Harting, through you, Chair. It doesn't mean that men are endangered species, but historically men have benefited to the exclusion of women. Youth, young people have also benefited from the project. And these are the stats of the graduations that we followed, particularly last year. The minister, really, and the deputy minister focused on the program last year to heighten the recruitment, given the fact that we are not getting the numbers that we used to get, Chairperson, as I explained earlier on. And these are some of what we are saying here is that if it doesn't come out from the figures and the text, at least the pictures must bring the message closer home. These are the graduations, and these are the elderly people who benefited from this program. And I said to people, it's quite phenomenal. For somebody who couldn't read and write, somebody who had to mark with a cross for signing, today they are able to write their names, they are able to sign documents. It's a phenomenal development. Program 3, Chairperson, is about teachers, human resource provisioning, institutional development, and utilization of human resources. We have achieved, except for a percentage of principals who had to go through competency assessment. And what we can say, the Chairperson, is that the first issue is that our target was a bit far more than what one would achieve, and we only realized that we targeted just just a bit high, much higher than what we could achieve. And the other area where we did not achieve is the self-diagnostic assessment for teachers for English first additional language and mathematics, we performed below the target. And what we've realized here is that we needed to have started much earlier in the year so that we are able to meet that target. And because we did not utilize the requisite time, it's for that reason that we underperformed. And going forward, we provided for this under remedial measures as to how we intend to improve in this area. And then the next one is about the school self-assessment, schools utilizing the findings of school profiles to improve learner performance, particularly from your school self-assessment. And here we put mechanisms in place also to make sure that we meet this target that we have set going forward. And these are the key activities that are highlighted there. I've already indicated that we've seen 10,000 young people joining the teaching profession, and those who attended the National Teachers Awards saw that some of the people who were awarded were young people, which means there's hope in this profession. We have a very good generational mix of people who are very experienced and young people who have chosen the teaching profession as their career. And overall, you had the 12,000 of those who were placed in the system, of course, taking into account some of the delays that occurred there. The placement of the Funza Lushaka is 94 from 87% overall chairperson. And these are the young people that I'm talking about, broken down per province, and I'm sure honorable members will appreciate, you know, the placement per province and so on. Provinces are at different levels of performance. In terms of labor relations, there are basically two issues that we dealt with respect to CS educators, is the report on the selling of posts, and we are in the process of finalizing that report. Chair, you'll recall that the minister released the report but indicated that the ministerial task team had requested for an extension to deal particularly with cases that relate to forensic investigation. So we are in the process of finalizing that. We've been talking to the team to wrap up its work. The difficulty is that the more you engage with the issue, the more, you know, more and more revelations of some of the issues seem to surface, and that delays the work of the ministerial task team. Of course, the second issue was around ANA, the annual national assessment, which occupied us with five unions in the sector. And I'm sure you'll be happy to learn, Chairperson, that we've managed to reach an agreement in terms of a new regime that will replace the annual national assessment, which the minister will announce very soon. We have reported to the Council of Education Ministers, and the minister will announce a new regime that will be introduced in the system fairly soon. The Funza Lushaka programs, I've already covered that one, so I'll just move. Safe to say that provinces such as particularly Northwest and Northern Cape have seen some improvement of being able to place all their graduates, and of course other provinces are also improving, but we expect them in future to be able to do the same as those provinces as well. This is the breakdown of the figures, Chairperson. And what we covering here is the training program which was carried out by the SAOU. We are providing about 40 million to all the five unions. They are not only focused on fighting for improvement of conditions of service. They are part of our implementing agents in terms of training teachers to improve their performance. So all five unions participate in the 40 million allocation of the Teacher Union Collaboration Program. So the SAOU trained circuit managers and principals and school management teams. The IQMS, we continue to implement the IQMS, although we're looking at replacing it with the new system that will be called the QMS very soon. We also monitored performance management at school level, and the provinces that are covered are indicated there. We provided additional support to KZN. Whole school evaluation has also enjoyed attention during the year under review, particularly looking at school self-evaluation, because as we all know, external evaluation covers only 10% of the total number of schools. The rest have to rely on school self-evaluation. And the figures are indicated there, Chairperson. Continuing professional teacher development, I've already indicated that we celebrated the National Teaching Award, which was addressed by the Deputy President. And we continue to work with SAICE to ensure that all teachers are registered and their qualifications are also verified. Education management and governance, we've also done work in this regard. As I said, the highlight here is the training of circuit managers to train principals and school management teams. And we've also indicated principals who are trained in provinces like Limpopo and Northern Cape through an endorsed program by SAICE. And these pictures are just indicating, providing evidence of some of the people who went through the training program. In terms of teacher development, we focused on math, science, and technology. And the main focus here was to prepare for the introduction of areas of specialization, new areas of specialization in schools that are offering what we used to call technical subjects or the technical professional stream. And of course, the main focus is around technical mathematics and technical science. We also carried out a survey to look at the functionality of school governing bodies, and we're providing data there of the functionality of school governing bodies. And the data that we show now is for teachers who went through training on math, science, and technology. The next program is planning, information, and assessment. In this program, Chairperson, we've achieved all the targets, except that, as we all know, that ANA could not be administered on the 15th of September 2015. We couldn't measure that. We reported to Treasury and Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, and they've accepted that eventuality. And we've agreed that given that outcome, we wouldn't have data to measure progress in respect of learning outcomes that rely on the annual national assessment. We've achieved those outcomes. We've also achieved the outcomes that are following. We've, in fact, overperformed. And here, as you can see, Chairperson, is about National Senior Certificate. And as I've already indicated, what is worth highlighting here is the number of learners who go through the National Senior Certificate. The figures are just unprecedented. In the history of education in South Africa, you've never seen so many young people going through the system. And so many young people also attaining the requirements at different levels, whether it be a diploma, a certificate, a higher certificate, or a national senior certificate. We're also benchmarking our papers and our curriculum with the best in the world, Chairperson. And the benchmark reflected quite positive. Safe to say that the only flip side that the benchmark indicated is that our curriculum is too wide. And I always say that's why South African teachers, many of them work during Saturdays, during holidays, etc., and etc. And going forward, as the minister correctly indicated, What we're looking forward to is to try and narrow the curriculum so that we focus on the depth rather than covering on the width of the curriculum. These are the results of 2015. I've already indicated that only 200 schools submitted results of having written the ANA, and the rest, of course, we couldn't get the results from. And then the figure is just too small to do a meaningful analysis in terms of the impact and how the system has performed. The international tests, we have written SACMEC. We have preliminary results that are available, which are reworked, and we have not had the official release of the results. We'll be getting the TIMSS results on the 29th of November. In TIMSS is Trends in Mathematics and Science Study for grade 5 and grade 9. SACMEC covers grade 6, so we have preliminary results of grade 6. So we will be getting results of TIMSS on the 29th of September. We'll be getting the results of the international study on PILS, Progress in International Reading and Literacy Studies, will be released in February 2017. These are the schools that participated, Chair. We're also paying attention to education management and information systems. What is worth mentioning is the modernization of SASMs, the number of learners that we are able to upload on the system and verify with the Home Affairs system to make sure that our systems talk to each other. Some of the challenges that we still find, Chair, are learners who accompany their parents who are not properly documented. As you know, that our constitution doesn't allow us to discriminate from providing education to those learners, whether they have the requisite documents or not. Up to even yesterday, I had to deal with a case of a learner who's supposed to write today exams, who didn't have a birth certificate, who didn't have an ID. So we work with the Department of Home Affairs to deal with cases of that nature. But we are getting our systems to talk to each other so that it increases the validity and the integrity of our data. Infrastructure, the main focus has been on dealing with marked, unsafe, planky schools, which you'd find in the Western Cape, even which are unsafe, which have benefited from the ACIDI program. And in terms of the year under review, we've also in terms of school furniture, provided school furniture there. We've also provided learner transport. We have exceeded even our targets in learner transport. But we do accept, Chair, that there are still instances where learners are walking long distances. But in terms of our targets, you can see that we have increased. Sanitation, the Minister reminds us that sanitation is about attaching dignity to our learners, to our teachers. Clean water, we've also provided clean water and also made electricity available to some of our schools. And these are the figures that I indicated there. These are the jobs that have been created. 32,000 jobs have been created out of this program. And we've also monitored provinces, the minister declaring every year a threshold for norms and standards for school funding. The minister has also written to Treasury and requested National Treasury to take up instances where provinces are not providing in terms of the norms. For instance, Limpopo is one of them. And I think KZN, if I'm not mistaken, is one of those provinces that are not meeting the threshold. The minister wrote to the Minister of Finance, requesting the Minister of Finance to intervene in those provinces to make sure that learners in those provinces are not shortchanged in terms of providing norms and standards allocations. No fee schools, Chair, in the light of the fees must fall, 87% of our schools are not charging fees, are not expected to charge fees. That gives you 77% of learners, which is 9.4 million out of 12 million learners in the system. And may I also add that in instances where you have quintile 4 and 5 schools that are charging fees, our policy is very clear. Learners and parents cannot be turned away on the basis of the fact that they cannot pay school fees. That's the extent to which in basic education we've dealt with the issue of fee paying. The minister has also requested us to look at the adequacy of funding in the basic education sector. We've put together a task team. That task team started its work not so long ago, and it will be reporting to the Council of Education Ministers. We are working with National Treasury, because we came across instances where quintile 4 and 5 schools are saying the money that is allocated to them is not adequate. Chair, you'll remember that even particularly your former Model C schools have inherited huge infrastructure which is very expensive to maintain. So part of what that task team that the minister has put together is going to look at is adequacy of funding across the board, but also taking into account, you know, those schools that are not getting favorable funding, like, you know, fee-paying schools, so that we don't collapse those schools by depending only on fees that are charged from parents. Draft norms and standards for districts have also been developed. We are looking at implementing those. We're monitoring closely the work that we're doing. Ms. Chioveka is the line function manager who's been working with districts to make sure that we provide the requisite support to districts, and districts also appoint the right people to provide support to schools. We've also held the National Education Excellence Awards to recognize districts that are doing well. We're also focusing on planning at school level, training circuit managers through what we call School Improvement Support Coordinators Program, and these are the numbers that went through the program. We've also focused on the three provinces that accounted for, in the main, the drop in the National Senior Certificate, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and KZN. The minister and the deputy minister led the teams that went to those provinces. And we visited those three provinces more than we visited the other six provinces, just to give focus and support and just make sure that there's a requisite monitor. Our role as a national department is to develop policy, is to monitor and support. Through the relevant line function that I've mentioned, we've also conducted a satisfaction survey where the line function was able to get in contact with schools to determine the level of support provided by districts. And these are the rate of the completion, the schools that participated in the survey. We even went further with the minister leading the team, visited all the nine provinces, and we shared the findings with the provinces and urged provinces to come up with an improvement plan. And this was the feedback that came from the schools in terms of the support provided by the district officials, by the provincial officials. For instance, one of the questions would say, how many times or how often has the district director visited your school? And the schools were able to provide that feedback, and that survey has been put together. I mean, the report has been put together. The call center, we've also dealt with a number of issues through the call center. The rate of resolving issues has improved. The presidency had set a threshold of 70%. We focused on three provinces that were not doing so well, and I think the next slides will indicate that even provinces that were not doing well in resolving some of the issues that are brought to our attention through our call center, through the call center in the presidency, have indeed improved. Chairperson, we've also been able to resolve queries as indicated in there. People who come to the department, we've been able to attend to them. And as I indicated earlier on, even in areas where we were underperforming, there's been a phenomenal improvement. And we are showing the three provinces that used to perform low in terms of resolving issues that are brought to their attention as having shown some improvement from one quarter to the other. School readiness assessment, these are the figures of the schools that were visited, as it happens, reopening of schools every year. And we were able to get the system ready to start. The National Education Evaluation and Development Unit has been doing its work. This time around, they focused on learners with special education needs. That work has not been concluded as yet, and it will be concluded in this financial year. And these are the districts that were covered, the number of schools covered. And of course, the main aim is to look at the implementation of White Paper 6. The last program, Chairperson, has also achieved in all its targets, but it's a very important program to us. It covers social cohesion, and as I indicated, targets have been met. National School Nutrition Program, the figures are indicated there, 9.6 million learners, 21,000 schools that are covered. And we also implementing the school health program, which is very important, and the year under review focused on deworming program, which is linked to the National School Nutrition Program, because if you don't implement the deworming program, it might undermine the efforts of government to provide balanced diet, nutritious meal to these learners, and learners will remain malnourished and stunted if you don't implement these important health programs. And these are the children, the province which have been covered. benefiting from the National School Nutrition Program, and we've just thought that we must just embellish a little bit with pictures to show some of the meals that these learners share. And as I indicated, these are the numbers of learners who benefited from the health promotion programs. School safety remain one of our very important programs. The year under review also saw the implementation of the school safety framework. We've been working with the department such as SAPS, establishing the school safety committees. There are those that are functional, that are working, and there are instances where we still need to do a lot of work to make sure that all of them come on par. These are the learners who benefited from what I referred to earlier on, the human papilloma virus vaccination, which was done by together with the Department of Health. And of course, which is the directive of the World Health Organization, that a program of this nature must be implemented. And these are some of the learners and the nurses that were part of the program. School safety I have covered. Corporal punishment remains a challenge in the system, Chairperson, still administered in many schools. And as I indicated to the portfolio committee, many people think that if we amend Section 9 of South African Schools Act, then they'll be able to implement corporal punishment. Section 12 of the Constitution prohibits the administration of corporal punishment anywhere. So the three provinces that are still not doing so well, particularly provinces such as the Northwest, which is slightly higher than last year, So corporal punishment is still administered there, Honorable Hatin, in the Northwest. So I'm sure we'll have to spread the message wider and make sure that it reaches everybody. School enrichment, particularly your South African school choral Eisted Fort, it continues to grow from year to year. And these are some of the figures that we have provided. And I must indicate that they are under review. So a visitation of Swaziland, which participated in the choral activities in the sector. These are some of the choirs. As you can see, that the conductors are fairly young, which spells a very good future for the sector. Indigenous knowledge systems also playing themselves out there as well. The moot court, as I've indicated, our team got position one in the Hague. As you can see that the topic under discussion was a matter of cardinal importance, which is about civilians, war crimes, and our young people did exceptionally well there. And then the Albert Luthuli oral history program, which is very important. Many of our young people do exceptionally well in this program. And these are the pictures of the young people of South Africa who went to Netherlands to participate in this program. School sports remains a very important program of our school, of our social cohesion program. We also cater for learners in your commercial farming areas and so on, and rural areas. We do cater for them. The Bill of Rights activities, learners participate as part of civil education, but for social cohesion as well. The National School Safety Workshops, the figures are provided there. And these are just the pictures showing our young people demonstrating their talent and skills as future national team members, chess, soccer, athletics, etc., and etc. May I also just comment, Chair, to indicate that the flip side in terms of our social cohesion programs is representativity. We've not achieved the objective of representativity, in other words, reflecting the Rainbow Nation in the participation of our learners in our programs. And the Council of Education Ministers have given a directive to HEDCOM to urgently deal with that matter. And we are indeed coming up with measures to ensure that in future we reflect the Rainbow Nation of South Africa. And as indicated, Chair, we're just providing remedial measures to say that in future, of course, our targets will be informed by the current trends. And may I also indicate that our data depends on community survey. The last community survey before the recent one, which was done in June, July, was conducted in 2017. It is that data that can help us to gauge, because these learners are in the wards, are in the communities. It is that data that help us to gauge and set reasonable targets that are met. And with the fresh data that comes from June, July community survey, 2016-2017, should be better planned because our data is much more informed. And I've also indicated that in terms of the competency assessment of principals, we need to get this resolved at the level of the ELRC with unions, and as soon as it is resolved, and they are working very hard to get that finalized. The minister has already gazetted standards for South African school principals. Of course, the next one I have covered, Chair. The self-diagnostic assessment I've also covered. Can I then request that the CFO covers the last bit, and I'm sure she'll take under 15 minutes to do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The slide on the screen is just showing the amount that was allocated to the department for 2015-16 and the amounts that were spent for the financial year. And then two provinces are the ones that underspent, which is Program 2, Curriculum Policy, Support and Monitoring, and the Planning Information Assessment. Curriculum spent 97.8% and planning spent 96.3%. But if you look in terms of percentage of what they did not spend, for curriculum it would have been 2.2% and the other one is 3.7%. And overall the department underspent 2.3%. And the reasons for underspending for the two programs, Program 2, it was due to mainly to EPWP grant due to delays in the capturing of the required data in the system, the electronic system. And the reason for the delay was that it was a new electronic system that was introduced during the year, and there was a challenge as this was not even included in the original plan for the year. And then for Program 4, the underspending was due to mainly in the ACD program, and the process of consultation on rationalization of schools took longer than anticipated, and it impacted on the spending of this program. And then the mitigating measures that were taken to remedy these challenges. For the EPWP program, the department held a meeting with the EPWP unit in the Republic of Public Works, and the two departments agreed to amend the application form for volunteers to meet the categories that are required by the EPWP electronic system to avoid what happened previously. And the department also dedicated the deputy director to work full time on data submission. And then for the program 4, the consultation on rationalization of schools has been completed in some areas. The next slide shows expenditure per economic classification. And if we look at the items on the list, goods and services, we overspent a little on that one. The spending was 103%. And then for transfers and subsidies as well, there was a little bit of overspending of 4.9 million. And then underspending of building and other fixed structures, there was 558 million. And the reasons for the under or over expenditure for goods and services, the reason for overspending on this item was due to the procurement and provision of school furniture for non-ACD schools that was not budgeted for under ACD. The school furniture was supposed to be provided only for ACD schools according to the allocation, but there was a need in other schools and the department provided to non-ACD schools. But to remedy this, the department will ensure that during the adjustment, budget funds are shifted from capital to cover the remaining commitments on this item. And then for transfers and subsidies, the reason for over expenditure was that some of the international organizations that funds are transferred to, the transfers are made in dollars and euros. And as we know that the exchange rate fluctuates, unfortunately at the time that we had to make payments, these two rates increased, but we didn't get the necessary approval on time. But we will ensure that we monitor the exchange rate and get the necessary approval going forward. And then for assets, for the payment of capital assets, I've indicated it had to do with the rationalization of schools, and it has been completed in some areas. The next slide is showing the audit outcomes for the department as well as the nine provinces. And if we can, as we can see on the screen, for 2015-16, one province has regressed, which is the Free State. It had unqualified with findings in the 2014-15, and then in the 15-16, they have received a qualified audit opinion. All the others remain the same as they were in the previous year, and only one province received a clean audit and qualified with out findings, and that is the Western Cape. And then the Department of Basic Education received an unqualified opinion with matters of emphasis. And the matter of emphasis was on the national textbook cataloging process. And what happened here is that the department followed the necessary process when they were developing the national catalog of textbooks. But there was an slight omission, which is that the department didn't get the letter of approval for exemption on the process. It was discussed with National Treasury and all the relevant stakeholders, but the letter of exemption was not requested. So that is what led to this emphasis of matter. But to fix this, the department has written a letter to National Treasury to get deviation, because to develop textbooks, the normal supply chain processes cannot be followed as they are in the legislation. And the matter was also discussed with National Treasury during the audit, and an agreement was reached, but we are still waiting for the approval. And then there were other matters that were raised. One of them was expenditure management. The department incurred irregular expenditure amounting to 599 million irregular expenditure due to implementing agents that assist in the department for the construction of schools. For the city program, they did not follow the correct supply chain processes. There was also unauthorized expenditure that was incurred amounting to 153 million, and this was due to the procuring of school furniture for non-city schools, as well as building of libraries for needy schools utilizing the city allocation. The department also incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to 44 million. This was due to payments of stipends to the volunteers in Karigure program without valid learners in some cases. And then the next area was on consequence management, and the Auditor General felt that effective and appropriate disciplinary steps were not taken against officials who made and permitted irregular expenditure and authorized expenditure at the time as required by legislation, and it was not investigated during the year under review. Then the next item is on procurement and contract management. 14 contracts were awarded to bidders where preferential points were not allocated and calculated according to requirements of the relevant act. And then memorandum of agreement with implementing agents were not amended or extended through approval by a delegated official. And this led to the department incurring irregular expenditure of 219.834 million. And this is included in the 599 that was indicated earlier. And then with the annual financial statement, there was material misstatements of immovable, tangible capital assets, accruals, and commitments that were identified by auditors in the financial statement. And this was subsequently corrected, and the supporting records were then provided to the Auditor General. And then steps to prevent recurrence of the matters that were mentioned above, I've already indicated on the National Textbooks catalog what we have done. And then for the others, irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful, as well as unauthorized expenditure, meetings were held with implementing agents to inform them of the necessary supply chain processes to be followed. And then should the implementing agents continue to not to follow supply chain, the MOUs may be terminated by the department. Where fruitless and wasteful expenditure could be confirmed, this is still under investigation, but there are cases where it could be confirmed. Deductions have already been made from the volunteers in the cases that could be confirmed. And then during the training for the new cycle of Karigure, the matter of this matter was also emphasized in the meeting to ensure that the volunteers don't register non-existent learners. Officials affected by any form of irregularity have been issued with warning letters as well. And then with annual financial statements, immovable and tangible assets, the capital asset table is updated on a quarterly basis to avoid misstatements thereof. Accruals, the implementing agents will submit accruals on their official letterhead confirming completeness, because this was not complete, and the way it was submitted, it was difficult to apportion responsibility. And then with commitments, copies of contracts are being collected from various implementing agents to ensure that the amount that is disclosed is correct and complete. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Quite welcome. Let me invite the honored members to begin to engage the report, cognizant of the fact that we need to be out of this meeting at least by 5 to 12. You know about the meeting that has been called a special meeting. And I would request your permission also, honored members, to allow the department to respond on those issues that you feel are quite urgent, and allow them to respond in writing with the other issues, because we certainly will not finish the business of the day if they were to respond to all the issues that we might raise, even those that are not very urgent. I'm going to point to the members as they raise their hands. Honorable Hatsin, you're the first. Honorable Stock, you're the second. Honorable Dameni, Honorable Kaula, Honorable Mashodi, then Honorable Samka. Please note the sequence. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm only going to take a few minutes. let me just start off by just responding briefly to comments that were made initially, and it's about decolonization. And I think we have entered this debate, as was mentioned also by Honourable Sirti. But I think to make sense of this, in this very emotional time when decolonization has become topical, we need to define what's the debate all about. Specifically, if it gets the debates get mentioned at this level of base education, we've seen calls for the decolonization of Newton's gravity law, which I don't really know what it means. There are also calls for a decolonization of sport. Soccer and cricket and rugby must fall. Where do we go to with that type of nonsensical debate? Although, I think there are some people who say that just look north of our borders, where very much of the colonized Zimbabwean education system is still in place and has taken the best out of it and transformed it, and we sit with the best literacy level in Zimbabwe in all of Africa for the ages between 15 and 24 at 91%. So it's a very dangerous subject if one gets swept away with the flow. I always am impressed by the presentation and the calls and the focus that Deputy Minister Sirti brings to the NCOP about the achievements. I'm impressed with that, and I know where we come from. But this, and it starts off actually saying to report on the achievements of the department. I think a report on the challenges and the failures that we still have in our education will be much, much thicker than this. And this, I say once again, coming back from a week in the Eastern Cape. And I saw at page 80 it was said that 788 schools reported some challenges let me just get the exact wording. It was on LTSM teachers, availability of teachers, workbooks, etc. Now, I don't know why we as the NCOP must always visit only those 788 schools, because it appears that we only visit those schools. I can tell you that all of the schools that we have visited have got major challenges. Every school it actually becomes so frustrating when my colleagues say, oh, not another acting, not another actor. I don't think we should ever accept the position where people have to act for periods 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year. In no private company out there this will be accepted. And this is very bad for the morale in our schools, for the morale amongst the educators. Something must be done. It cannot be the norm that 6 months is at the minimum period that it will take to make an appointment. We've seen in the past weeks, going back to the same line again, schools with pit toilets with outdoors. We've seen where the sports ground would be, and said, yes, a sports ground, well, why don't you just cut the grass? And the answer is that we can't cut the grass because the children go out there and they leave themselves in the long grass. It's embarrassing for them if the grass is cut. Now, 788 schools with these type of challenges, this is not true. This is not the reality. We've got major challenges, and we must move ahead. But I haven't seen a mud school in the Eastern Cape in the past week. We haven't been there. But on the other hand, this is the one side of the coin. I'm focusing on the other side of the coin. But I've seen in this, like in a pocket in Limpopo, we've seen in Bizana, one school and an island amongst other very challenged schools, underperforming schools, matric pass rate 96%. A principal in charge. All of the educators come in, sit there, participate. One strong team. And that brings me back to why don't we have the assessment of for principals and for senior positions? Is there something that's not being told to us? Is there resistance from the trade unions? Does it affect the, for instance, we've still sit with this legacy of jobs for cash. Is it not in the interest of the trade unions and trade union influenced appointments to have proper assessments, evaluations of staff? And there are a number of evaluations where we see, ANA and others, EFAL, where we see, I gather that there's some trade union resistance, and I think one has accept that the education system, we have been defeated by SATU on ANA. It's perhaps there's a better system, perhaps there was not proper communication up front, but the power of the trade union in appointments and evaluation is really a concern. Then just on sport, I really appreciate the presentation on sport, but go when we go into the schools, there's really no sport. There's no sports facilities in general, majority of schools. There's no culture of educators going back to school in the afternoons and keep the children off the street. And what we then see, security, I think, will in future rate much higher on our priorities. What we've seen in the past period, as soon as we see drug lords are moving in, suddenly there's a call for we need fences. We need security, because drug lords are now moving in and see the children as their targets. But a healthy sport environment with a culture of sport coming from educators, from the community, actually is one of the strongest tools against the growing threat to our learners, and that is the threat of drugs. Thank you for those few comments. I would like to just perhaps get a response, if not possible now, on later than in writing, due to the limited time, on the influence of the trade unions on proper assessment, where our educators are being assessed, and where people who are actually in positions where they should not be are actually being called out. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable
Hutton. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I'm just going to be very brief because I'm looking at the time. So I had three issues that I wanted to raise. But the other two, I will just submit them for a written reply to the Honorable Minister. And then the last one, I just wanted to make a brief comment about our visit that we had last week to Alfred Nzo District. And then I'm raising that comment in the meeting so that maybe we give an opportunity to the department to try to take the issue and make a follow-up on it. Because in terms of my own view, when we go back to the Eastern Cape as the NCOP, we will be going to a different regime, taking Parliament to the people to Buffalo City Municipality. We will not have an opportunity to go back again to make a follow-up. So I'm raising this comment so that the department can just maybe look at the issue and maybe try to make a follow-up. We have been to Umzimbovu, a local municipality, and then the other group went to Ntabangu. But, you know, most of the schools that we visited in the area, if you can look at our, I mean, both reports, you will actually realize that the issues are mostly the same when it comes to learner transport system, which is a very big problem there, and then the issue of the, the textbooks. We were in one school where we were given a report by the district director that no, you still have a situation where 15 kids are supposed to share one textbook, which is a very sad reality. So I'm just raising it with you, Honorable Minister, in your presence, that just make a follow-up on that issue, please. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. It was supposed to be me. Can I proceed? Thank you very much. My greetings to all members, the Minister, and the team from Department of Basic Education. A number of issues has been covered by other members, especially the scholar transport in the Eastern Cape. All Minister, is still a problem. In fact, let me just put it like, in the Eastern Cape, there might be a need. I know there is an intervention, but I don't know what else could be done. There are problems there, serious problems. If it means that intervention or camping there, I think we've got to do that in order to assist that province. We've been there in January in another district. Now we've been to, I was part of the delegation that went to Mosambiko, but in Ntabangulu, there are serious problems there. One of the problems are death certificates. Most of the learners, they don't have death certificates there. I know it's home affairs, but it affects education. A number of them, I don't know why in the Eastern Cape, but a number of children don't have their certificates. One of the issues that could be considered by the department is consultation or communication with the public there. They seem not to be understanding why some of the schools have to be closed. I don't know whether they are used by teachers, because in the public meeting that we had, that was the main issue, very negative, like they don't know. It's like the department is coming to close schools, which some of the schools, they are saying they built those schools themselves. They were not built by government. So it seemed to me that there is a need of public meetings with the communities as a department now, explaining to them why we have to close some of the schools. One school, Ntabangulu, which was a neighbor to a secondary school, has got less than 130 learners. It's one of the schools that has to be closed. But what was strange was that the next school, the high school, is overcrowded. It's supposed to be taking 500, but it has got 800. Meaning that it's not the people who are working in Gauteng, which were told in the primary school. Maybe there's a problem of teaching in that school. If something could be done and trying to deal with the issue of teaching there, they will have enough children there, because the neighbor is overcrowded. I think that has to be attended. It will be part of the report. In terms of my preschools, sure, there is a serious problem. Again, I'm also referring to Eastern Cape and Ntabangulu. I know most of the problems are not related to Department of Education. It cuts across other departments. Who is responsible to build, to provide infrastructure for ECDs? You can have a good curriculum for those schools, but if you look at the environment of a school, it covers all what you have done, as if you are not doing anything as a department.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and also the appointment of teachers, educators, I don't know whether we call them teachers or educators, at preschools, that has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with is a serious problem. One issue that I picked up on the report, the 100% budget use for compensation of employees versus summer vacancies at schools. Does it mean that if you did not have vacancies, you will be overspending on that item? Because you have spent 100%, but like the schools, the one I was referring to, the principal is not there. There's a number of schools where there are vacancies. The biggest problem they also talked about is the Peter Mokel. Is it Peter Mokel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, because wherever we go, you go to KZN, you go to Limpopo, you go to, we've been to Eastern Cape twice. This Peter Mokel they're complaining about a lot. There might be, I don't know, a need for a revisit, or we are made to understand so that we can be able to make some recommendation, whether you go back and communicate with them on the Peter Mokel, or I don't know, but it's a big issue. The last one, Chair, is the my assessment of audit outcomes versus its performance of the department of provinces. Let me put it in provinces. It's not the department. Something has to be done. There are provinces who have done well, if you are using a metric results, who has done well. But if you look at the audit outcome, they did not do good. What does it mean? It may mean that having a clean audit, I really want a clean audit. I want us all to get clean audit. But it doesn't mean that you are performing 100% good in terms of performance. Then, Chair, all debates taken from the first input are very much important. To say a nonsensical debate, it depends when where you stand in terms of your policies. Because for me, the decolonization, for some of us, it's a very important debate, very important. So it depends on where you stand. You can't just say it is a nonsensical debate. I thought I should raise it, and you don't leave this house having understood that a decolonization debate is a nonsensical debate. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Kaul.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm also going to very, very brief greetings to colleagues, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Department. I am happy today, Chairperson, that some of the things one is always raising are surfacing. I've always said is that, you know, the reports we get sometimes do not agree with what is happening on the ground. And today, members are confirming that. The report by the department, especially on LTSM, supply of LTSM on slide 80, and LTSM on slide, not 80, Chairperson, I think it's slide 28, things are okay, but when you get to the practical side of schools visited on slide 80, challenges with LTSM and workbooks. The very same report. It's what I've always been saying, that, you know, when you get reports, things are okay. But when you go to school, things are not okay. It's the case with most you know, with most of the reports that we get as the NCOP, that things are reported to be good, but when you go practically on the ground, you find that there are challenges. I'm not going to go to the Eastern Cape issue. Colleagues have spoken about that. I was not there, but they are my neighbors, I know. We have also inherited Umzimkulu from them. We have been there several times, I know. It's what I've always been saying, Chairperson. The rationalization, Chairperson, the unintended consequences, Honorable Minister, have to be attended to. irrationalization, if not well planned, it becomes a disaster. Because there are areas where learners have to stay at home just because there were no plans for transport. Schools are closed, teachers have been taken away, now learners are staying at home. So can all those issues really be looked into before a final decision is taken? The issue of the audits that Honorable Lamine has also referred to. I just want to find out, some of these departments, I mean provinces, which have done very badly, are the departments where national government has had intervention. What has this intervention produced? Because it was a disaster, intervention, no progress. What is national government doing when there's an intervention? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Mpambuswa. Thank you, Chair. And this is Kulanda. Into ebendizeyithethiwe ndifuna nje ukuba ndicele umphathiswa nesekela lakhe into yokuba kuqiniswe nje amatyathanga nento eniyenza udeputy minister ingasandiva and I know ukuba u-active kakhulu. Let me go to English because I know involvement yakho in the absence of the minister xa i-cabinet meeting is imperative. I just want to say, Minister, ukuba ninga just strengthen on initiatives and strengthen on health department. I know this has impact on you finally. Into your health involvement, we ECD, which is a SASA competence, in terms of abantwana abangevayo. Because in one of the crèches, and I was with the Honorable Stock, in one of the crèches that we attended, one of the things that was raised by Utishala Payana, ukuba abantwana bakwazi bafikapha xa bengeva at an early stage. At the end of the day, lamntana uphele lapha kwa basic education, nibe neproblem kanti umntana bengeva ixesha elide. If it could have been picked up at an earlier stage, led by the health department, esebenzisana nani, prevention would be better than cure, because as the one of the educators said, there hasn't been any health visit for the whole of this year. Nothing whatsoever. And this also impacts on the eyesight of Dana. So abanye abeva, abanye ababoni. So the impact, I know, is not is with the health, but at the end of the day, you inherit abandona when a minister. Ukuba njeni na kini sama kia tanga eni no health department, koza vizi kono ukuba kona. Ube zi consistency azo to prevent indo kuba problem ya andi. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm covered by honorable members. But nevertheless, let me also raise one pressing issue on this annual report on page 57. 115 meetings were planned and only 62 have, owing to reasons like busy schedules. In what way did time constraints impacted in the possible plan and monitoring of the government? DG. And also, Honorable Chairperson, on page 187, 242 out of 747 employees received performance reward. What informs that and what is the status of others who did not get the performance reward? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay, Honorable Sam,
and also the presentation that the portal overview by the minister and the deputy minister. Honorable Chairperson, Okalam and Mome Ibrahim's department, Kulendo Yibushan, Taka Tibet China, South Africa, Banam Plans, etc. educators as Zawiya, we course the China, who the Eastern Cape, they are eight. And who that way to party along the bang the Samga, see, the because Lendo Puma, see, yes, in I think this. Between South Africa and China. As not been in China, I am a long ago. They call it Minister in the back, the Silla, the Lelondo, Simon Tarish, so that they are no men, but a city of Sikele, Quilizing, Tumdoba, Sipuna, Sigelela. Also, page 87 on a presentation on the school nutrition program. I will have a lesson who better passing. Testify experience, DJ. Kalugabana utela we take away zabanda na baja in school meet, ba pito ayo in school meet. We koni take away ne back. In nutrition, baseka ni nutrition, itoni nutrition. Ugu tenga lo abanda na kuba kuso fuga ni na namsanje. Baku ugu tenga we it back. And the kon ba koni school sends it back. In nutrition, seka ugu tugu tiano apai gardening. Nayo iyafuna into yokuba khe simontari into yokuba ingaba senza le nto okufanele into yokokuba iyenziwa na. Ndicinga into yoba oogxa bam abasebenzi khavarishile honorable chairperson kwinto eninzi or the water and sanitation and electricity i-issue yingxaki i-disaster. If you can go to Eastern Cape okay. In fact, in our new provinces, Iafuna and Doba, Ingabumbi, Ilapa, good department, national day sanitation, and it's in Anna. Ilapa, national, Uba, and the process. Water and sanitation, I may be believe for men, apart from the little or some.
Thank you. Thank you for the questions, but members would then understand that it's not possible that the department will be able to respond on all of these issues now. However, I just want to make some remarks and add on to a few questions, if any. Firstly, one would welcome the presentation for the annual report regarding performance and also the financial. From the remarks of the Honourable Minister where you talk about the three-stream model, I think that model is going to assist us a great deal in terms of limiting the number or exercising assessment in terms of who qualifies to go to varsity and who does not, and increase the number to TVET colleges because we are looking for skill in any case in this country more than the qualifications that are obtainable from universities. The issue of decolonization of the curriculum is a critical issue. It is raised at the level of DPE, but also in higher education. It's an issue that is real and it needs to be looked into, even if, as the Deputy Minister is putting that, it's going to be quite expensive, but maybe it is the kind of expense that we need to face because our education, particularly the curriculum, needs to be decolonized. It's a debate that you can take to the House, it's okay, but it is a reality. Honorable Dlamini did remark about the fact that it's not really nonsense, as other members may refer to it. It is an issue that is real, and it is one of the factors that are causing protests out there in higher education. The issue of quarterly meetings within the district managers, Honorable Minister, I was happy to hear that more often than not you are part of those meetings. But the vacancy rate, as I looked at it in the report, there are vacancies at the level of districts, and those vacancies need to be filled, e.g., because those are the people that are actually responsible for the performance of schools. And to leave those vacancies unfilled is compromising the performance of the districts in some of the provinces. Because of time, one will not be able to refer to particular provinces. The curriculum, it was said, it is too wide. It's an issue that the department would need to look into to streamline it such that it is manageable and it is effective. You have told us the targets in your five programs and your achievements. We really do appreciate your achievements. But please go and improve on areas where you are lacking. You are saying Karakude, you are closing it in 2017 with a view heading over to higher education, is it? No, it's just a program that is just closing because you've reached the target of people that wanted to assist. Okay, all right. That was an issue that was raised in terms of targets that were not met. Minister, you are coming up with a new regime of Anna. I hope that there has been enough consultation in terms of that new regime and that we are not going to find unions coming up against it once again such that it is not implementable. It's just my assumption that enough consultation has been done and that we are going to progress moving forward. Members have raised issues regarding infrastructure, water, electricity, sanitation. Yes, the findings are not relating to the reports that are being given. And the minister, I would plead with the department. There are provinces, most of our provinces are rural, most of them. But Eastern Cape requires a concerted effort and attention. I know that you have been there at some stage, you were there and we're told that we're coming and we've been there, the Deputy Minister has been there with your team, but they do need concerted attention. That province, it's difficult even to engage with the politicians. Even if you go, we don't find them. We call them to come to the NCOP to have an engagement with them with a view to assisting. It's difficult to get hold of them. Maybe in your Minimax, Minister, will be able to find a solution, but they need to be assisted. Thank you. We went for oversight to the Popo province in schools that were banned and had made an effort, DG, to provide temporary accommodation. We really did appreciate that. That was a difficult one. We had made an effort to oversee that the Ketcher program. One would want to believe that with those catch-up programs, the amounts of money that was spent for those programs are going to yield good results at the end of the day. Curriculum coverage was done, and there were revisions as we visited other schools were busy with revision and more of tester programs, and we did appreciate that. It was crisis, but you did come through. The issue of finances and the findings of the Auditor General, it becomes problematic, CFO, if the findings are recurrent. The Auditor General will say the same this year, the same the following year, the same, without corrections being effected. And I don't know if there is consequence management for officials that are not obliging in terms of submitting documents that are required by the Auditor General for corroboration. When the findings, they need to be sorted out, and the following year they should not form part of the audit opinion. Please, we want to see more Minister of Consequence Management in officials that are not striving to give us a clean audit. The under expenditure is bad as over expenditure, but please decrease on fruitless expenditure, irregular expenditure, unauthorized expenditure. If you could just please decrease on that one. We have noted the figures here, and we hope that when we engage with you come the next financial year, you would have tried to decrease on this drastically. And in any case, we are looking forward to getting a clean audit from the department. Effectiveness of internal controls, DG, are critical to assist you to get a clean audit, and also sticking to the regulations of Treasury in managing for finances. With those few words, because now we are racing off, I'm sorry for that, but at least you got the gist of what is happening in the department, and I would invite, therefore, the Minister to make a concluding remark.
No, Chair, it's correct to say we will not be able to answer all questions, and we will be willing to respond to some. But I just felt there will be others which it will be dangerous if we leave them unattended. When I spoke, I consciously and deliberately said, we're not talking about colonial education in the sense of context. So I think the member from the DA was being mischievous, because I did underline it. So I'm not talking about Newton theory and other things. What we're talking about is that, and I did even say, under the landscape, just to really say we're talking about structure. You see, Chair, under colonial education, the emphasis for every, just at the time, around 18-something, was on academic education. That's what I mean. That's getting kids to be lawyers, teachers, and very few kids being prepared in technical skills. And what we're saying, the economic landscape requires different skills. That's what we're talking about. So it's academic versus technical and vocational as the demands of the economy. We have lots of learners, unemployed graduates, we have lots of skills shortages in areas. And that's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about anything. And we use that language even when we're doing our budget. So it has nothing to do with this at all. So we're not piggybacking on that. We're just using the languages because it is there. So under apartheid, we had also different landscapes. Right? No African kids would go into engineering because whose building were they going to build? They can ask build their black kids, so they were not given access to them. Colored kids were trained as artisans because they too. So, and that's what we're talking about. To say we must give all our kids access to technical, vocational, as required by the economy and the times. So I thought I should clarify that so that people, when they go out here, don't misquote us about what we mean by colonial education. We really mean exactly just changing our landscape and making sure that we give more of our kids technical and vocational skills in line with the needs of the economy. Chair, without taking much of your time, last week we had lunch with the European Union. Those are your federal countries. I was quite surprised when Austria said they have only 14% of their post-schooling go to university. They have most of the kids going to China because that's what the economy needs. None of your first world countries has because we have, of the metrics that are actually 80% of them are looking at universities. None of those European countries, none of them exceeded 60% of kids going to universities. They were even saying there are companies that were investing in South Africa have difficulties in getting skills they require in their industries. Right, so that's a message where we don't have boilermakers, that's basic skills which make more money. We find kids qualifying as doctors than going to construction. So that's what we're talking about. So I thought I should clarify that so that there's no confusion about what we're saying. The other point, Chair, I really sympathize with the NSOP, the way I sympathize with myself sometimes. Because it's all about the location of the locus of power and authority. So we can come here and talk about who, I don't employ teachers. So there'll be Tempra, there'll be, so provinces employ them. So there is advantages, and I'm the one who said, who will always say that our constitution and the way we've structured our system is very healthy. Because where it works well. Where it works well in Gauteng, you don't have to sleep, have sleepless nights, no things are happening. Where it works well in the Western Cape, you don't have to have sleepless nights, no, it's working. So what in terms of our constitutional arrangement, where it works well. Where it does not work, it actually does not work extremely. Because there are limitations to what we can do as nationals. We can lay norms and standards. We can say a teacher can be, must be employed in 3 months' time. The MC does not account to me, accounts to the premier. Right? And the premier accounts to me. I think the legislature. So we can say some of the things, as you correctly say, all the things you say in the Eastern Cape, we live there. Right? One member was asking us to say we've been intervening, what have we done? I would expect the NSOP to even know better that even before we intervene, we have to come to you and get permission and say to you specifically, we can't just do what we want. Specifically, what is it that we're going to be doing in the Eastern Cape? You want it in writing. That's what the law is saying. So when we went to intervene in the Eastern Cape, we had to say we are going there for 6 months because we have to specify time also because these structures are independent in terms of the constitution. You don't go and do what you want in the provinces and interfere without following the rules. We have to come to the NSOP to say, in the Eastern Cape for 3 months there's been no schooling, no feeding, no transport. So at that time we're intervening. So we have to say to you, we have to give you reasons. We want to go and assist with transport because the scholar transport system had collapsed at the time. We had to say to you, we want to go in there because teachers have not been moved. At that time, there were 4 areas we got into the Eastern Cape for. The school nutrition had collapsed, people were not being paid in taxes. There were 4 areas. So we had to do it in writing the NCOP and say this is... So we are not taking over the department. So if there's no curriculum monitoring, unless I have permission from NCOP, there's nothing I can do about it. Right? And indeed, we sent Mr. Mweli and other people to go and assist, and we came back to the NCOP and gave a report to say, indeed, we have resuscitated scholar transport, school nutrition has begun, and that's the limit, and that's how the constitution works. So to say where we have intervened, nothing has happened. Unless something happens in the province, nothing's going to happen. Like, we monitor them, we'll give them notices, they run away. Sometimes you go there and get my counterparts not coming. And at the end of the day, they have the last word. Because they account, there's a legislature. Right? There's a legislature, that's where they account. Not, for me, I account to parliament also in relation to the things. So I thought, and half the time, when we speak, because I think ourselves, as parliamentarians, as lawmakers, have not begun to internalize the implications of our constitutional arrangement around concurrency of powers. It's something we continue discussing even when people ask me about schools, I'm not responsible for sanitation. In the Eastern Cape, the only thing I do, because I have special permission, is your acidity. That's the only thing I can be held accountable for. That there are no toilets and other things, they have to account to the legislature, because that money gets voted in the legislature, and that's where they account. Right? If teachers are not employed, so where I don't have financial authority, I don't have power. And that's why sometimes we have ring-fence money, so I accept the comment about school nutrition, we have to account for it because the money gets voted to us and we have to be able to monitor and account that one. But about kids, whether you cut grass or not, I can I come here and complain with you and say that grass has not been cut, the dignity of children has not been protected. But the budget for sanitation outside Afrika, a provincial, and that's where the accountability comes. And as I say, and for me, the celebration is when this structure, where it works magic. Right? You should see in provinces that function on their own. To go to, I mean, Gauteng, we stay in Gauteng, we don't even turn our back because they're running. We spend most of the time here in the Western Cape, we don't turn around because the systems are working. Northwest, things are working, which is, for me, a very good system. But where there are problems, there are problems. So I'm just trying to answer the question to say, where you intervene, things are wrong. You intervene by law and you intervene through you. So if I've not sent you any letter, which means I'm not legally intervening, I'm supporting and going, and they have the right to accept or not. And the last one I really wanted to talk about, it's curriculum. Curriculum was a 5-year campaign. It was time-bound, it was supposed to have come to a stop, but we really have been prolonging it, and we felt with the, in any case, this time can be last. It was supposed to be a 5-year campaign. We have met the target. We need that money, for me, more than anything, because there are lots of areas of pressure that we're not responding to, especially your remedial education and all sorts of things. And we just felt that rather than continue, when it's quite clear that it has reached, in any case, it has reached the end of its term in terms of having passed 5 years, the numbers are no longer coming in. It really has exhausted itself naturally. So a campaign comes to an end, has come to an end, we're not taking it anyway, it's finished. That was the post-apartheid once-off that we're giving for people who didn't have an opportunity to go to school. We assume that people who were born after 1994 have had their chance to go to school. And we're dealing with the old ones who never had that opportunity. So the young ones will assume that they have access to basic literacy and numeracy. The other one is about Anna. And unions, I really don't want to go. You see, the Anna thing is quite sad because unions, and I've said to them, they were very opportunistic. By the time they created problems, we had sent a circular to get them to comment on the review of Anna because we had already taken a decision to say the frequency might be, it's a bit too much. The utilization is not adequate because it's too frequent. And we had sent a circular to say, let's get their opinion. And most unions had written back to us to make proposals at that stage, when such to really cause problems. And when I confronted the other unions to say, you had responded, you are being opportunistic, you know that we are asking for exactly what you are demanding. They said, you know, Minister, as unions, we don't, where there's difference between us as unions, it puts our members under pressure. And we will support such as a majority union, because if we really differ with them, it's going to put our members under pressure in the staff room if they're going to conduct ANA when the others say. So what is happening when you ask us if we've consulted and other things? It's what we had plans to do, and we'll do a continue with it. And I can assure you from the reports I'm getting, because it was an event around the time, and there are all allegations about what was at play at the time, which we think has gone out. They're now, we've come down and we're talking and we're doing what we had planned to do, unfortunately. But they jumped at the time because there's something they wanted to disrupt at the time, but it falls within our framework. We were proposing that, like all other assessment tests, we shouldn't do it as frequent as we're doing, because then it doesn't give you a chance to remediate on the problems you pick up. So we want, and it's a very expensive exercise. The information we have is good enough to give us an indication of what we need to do. And we felt that we need 2 years gap in between to remediate and assess, remediate and assess. And that's what, so we're consulting and we're not under pressure, but it falls exactly between what we wanted the system to do and not assess. There's no assessment, even your teams or what, they don't do it manually. It's just too frequent and we're not able to remediate because the results are just coming. And we're getting the same results. You get 9%, 9%, 9%, 11%. You are showing that we're not remediating, but we're spending just too much time assessing. And I think we're comfortable with it. The last one, DMDM, we'll talk about the others. So I'm not going to answer, but I think we'll follow up on the Eastern Cape, what we have decided to do, because indeed it's a major problem. That is a bit basic. The major problem, we've been in and out. You're quite correct that DM has been spending most of his time. We called, and let's just say the first time we went to interview, you called almost five departments to intervene. There was Treasury, there was Public Service, there was ASAP, but there were five legal, the five departments intervening. But we did achieve that which we had written to NCOP for, to say we want to intervene to sort these four areas, which we think we manage. And even now, school nutrition is still functioning with the models we gave them. But you're quite right, on all, so I can't answer on all the things that you are saying, to an extent that we've decided as a department to take some of the best education managers in the system to go and sit in the Western Cape system. We've currently recruited, for instance, the former head of education of the Western Cape, Penny Vingevold, and team here with other people to just go and assist again now in the Eastern Cape, not even going through legally. So just to have an understanding, because again, because they have constitutional powers, if you come with craft data, they ready with them. So we just want to have a different approach to see if we can assist them. So when we went there, they were resisting, they were taking us. It was just difficult even when we went there. We struggled to even the president had to come in. We struggled just to calm them down, to say, we're not coming to take your power, we're coming to help. So we will be sending a team of really those people who are asking other provinces to second the best people. So the system indeed really needs assistance unless we want to be extremely cruel to kids in the evening if they really have a problem. And so I agree in all the things I think, the toilet and other things. We have a plan. We hope we've been talking to the political principals. We think we'll take the team now to prepare for next year and from next year to get them to camp more. In the Eastern Cape, they won't only work with the Eastern Cape, they work with Limpopo. There are still lots of challenges in Limpopo with the new HOD. She really needs support. The team will also work with KZN. Coming well, but I think they need more support also just to be finally where they were before. The last point is about audit. I don't know whether it's a coincidence. Provinces that get good audit get good results. Yeah. So it just confirms that if you have one thing right, you get them right. So I think you should not even say a good audit does not mean performance. They perform. Right. Western Cape gets a clean audit, gets very good results, performs very well. So it just means that odds are fine. Gauteng gets a clean audit, performs very well. It just means the odds are fine. Mpumalanga, which is on an upward trajectory of performance, only this year that they had a setback, but they're very good. So if one wheel doesn't function, your car doesn't work well. So that's my theory about audit. So all your wheels must be functioning for you, for your car to be safe, so that we don't mislead ourselves and say, can you have a punctured wheel? The other three wheels will push, the car will still be working. All the wheels have to be functional. So a clean audit, in all the areas where we have a clean audit, they are clean results, because it means the system, the entire system is functioning. So we should encourage more provinces to do that. And the last one that came from Kaula about books and other things. There's other things also which, again, I think, I don't know, it's ourselves not talking enough about what are the things we've agreed to do ourselves, even under SASA. You know this democracy, which is very noble, and it works well. There are schools that you've given Section 20, 21 power. It means they are responsible for their budget. So if you find one kid out of 15, you have to understand who was buying the books. Because we've given them power. You can't give people powers and go back to them and take those powers, say, bring back the money, I'm going to buy it for you. You give them all the money, you give them books, money to buy what maybe we are weak at, and so to monitor where we've given powers. But it's not the responsibility of the department by then when they have power. And to recall those powers, it's a legal process because they're giving them legally also. So in most instances where you find, and I can testify this, where you find that children are sharing books, it's where SGBs have the power to buy books. I've been to schools where SGBs have been given money, but soon they have not bought, and no one is able to explain why. But what is the advantage with giving schools power? You give them the autonomy to run the school. If you go and look at the section 21 book, schools, your model C schools, it has felt as a good decision to say when a governing body has go to pack down boys. You can feel it's a community that is running its schools. Its schools, they're not waiting for big mama, big papa to check with them when things are happening. Things are happening. They have all the power to run the school. And that's where sometimes it is a problem. And that's the problem that where things work very well. But if they collapse, it's a big problem. And that's why you get in the textbook things that half the time some provinces that have failed to deliver books. It's governing bodies which have not bought books. But whilst they have been given power and money to buy the books. Right? So I'm not giving excuses and other things. So the PPM wanted to come here. It's an Eastern Cape problem. And fortunately, I was told in the last report that Eastern Cape has come around. He wants us to come and train them on the PPM because they were misimplementing it. Because it can't be a problem only for the Eastern Cape. And I kept on asking Simakona, why is this thing a national and an international instrument? Why is it a problem when it comes to the Eastern Cape? Right? So that's another matter for another time. The last one I want to make really is about the closure of schools. I've been getting reports from colleagues about the mention of schools. You know, the number of schools determine also your budget, which is what we're telling people in the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape has almost half of kids in Gauteng as a population. They run almost 6,000 schools. So they want to employ 6,000 principals, pay 6,000 bills when they have half the population. Gauteng has almost 3,000 schools, half. Right? So they're only paying half the number of principals. And they're not the only rural province. So this school we're saying has got 800, the other one has 100. We're saying in terms of norms and standards, a proper school must have not less than 135. But you can't provide teachers. I mean, if there are 100, how many are doing grade 8, 9, 10, 11, and for grade 12, how are you going to have specialized in teachers, math, science, and other things? It just doesn't work. Right? 100 kids at the high school won't work because you're not going to be able to allocate, especially teacher resources for those kids. It makes sense for this 100, to go and join the 800. Mm-hmm. Right? Then they become 900. And the one principal is still not overcrowding. Okay. Right? Rather increase the capacity. Under the same administration, one principal, one deliverer, one center, they can share teachers, can be comprehensive. But you can't run a school of 100 kids. Right? And I said to them, if they say to we've been through this with other provinces, they've been built by themselves, we're not taking the school from them, we're just removing the kids and the teachers. They can remain with the school because we're not going to take it from them. They can remain with the school. Now, it shouldn't be part of the debate. Someone said the king is involved with the king's, the chief's grandmother. I mean, this school has got 75 kids from grade R to 12. I said, leave the queen's school alone. Take the kids and the teachers out because we have to save these children to make sure that they get good education. But what do you do with a school of 75 kids from grade R to 12? Who's going to be looking after grade R? It just doesn't work. When look at the results, that one is 100. I'm sure they're under 20% or 6% in performance. It's not fair for the children to really say that keep with the community building. What is important is what is in the interest of the children. And if there's nothing in their interest as children to be in a school which is unviable. A high school 100 kids is unviable. So we shouldn't even be debating, getting people to be happy about it. The law is unviable. And that's why in the norms and standards we said a school of less than 135 kids is not viable for us, especially for the kids. Because the schools that give you, go and check that 100, maybe they have 0%. The ones that give us 0%. So we can't keep on repeating the same mistake. It's in their interest, even as parents, to close schools. In the Eastern Cape, there are two children's schools. I was shocked. There's a one-child school, one child. And I was saying, which village has only one child? Where are the other kids in the village? They had more than 1,000 kids with less than 50 students. So what are we discussing there? I mean, 50 kids, 1,000. So expect us to go to those 1,000, to go to this parent one by one. You just say to them, our norms and standards are saying 135 is not a viable school, therefore we're closing. You can't ask Makhupula to stop. Everything is going to be consulting this one parent, those two parents, those five. It's thousands of them. So which means you must stop working and going through all the whole Eastern Cape and talking to this one parent to say, know that your child is school and closed, know that the 20 children school are closed. No. We've declared it in norms and standards and expect our people to appreciate that this is the direction we're going. So I know there are lots of unhappiness about it, but at some stage I think you expect us to to stand for authority and say this is where it stops, and we're saying 135, that's where it stops. Anything less than that we're not discussing. So I thought I should say those things, and we're under pressure. I don't want to add I want to answer the union story. As I say, it's a push and pull. When you end up in power, you expect in contestation of power. I can say we have, okay, so we're going to the union. And they give us lots of feedback. And I can't pretend here and say there are no times where we have to slog it out. And sometimes to the advantage of the sector if they slog it out with us, but sometimes to the disadvantage of the sector.
Thank you, Honourable Minister, for the responses. I think you covered largely most of the questions that members had actually asked. To that extent, I don't know if the GM wants to say anything. We have far exceeded the time.
Thank you, time for
the oh, thank you, GM.
I come here so often,
so the next time I come here, I'll be very lovely. Thank you. Gigi, you make written responses in areas where you really feel that you have been left out. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think we've come to the end of the meeting. Once again, I want to thank the department for the presentations and the responses. They're quite adequate. We really felt that the minister is here today because she clarified quite a number of issues. Those issues that have not been responded to, the DG is undertaking to ensure that they are written back to the committee as written responses. We are attending the meeting. Thank you very much. Yeah.